Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. I'm Dr. Deborah.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing good. Tell me about your weekend.
Oh, well, you know, I went and saw, like, the greatest movie yesterday. Did you see Megan Levy?
No.
It's based on the true story of a former Marine.
Okay.
Who did the canine program with the dogs, the prison dogs, and she got so attached to this dog. It was basically, she wasn't attaching to people in her life. Disconnect, you know, getting fired from jobs, couldn't really connect. They didn't talk about whether there was Asperger's or anything like that.
Yeah.
But she developed this relationship with this dog, and after she retired from the military, she fought for this dog for 5 years to get him to be adopted by her. Finally, through the help of a senator, was able to get the dog, who only lived another 8 months after she had him, which made, that part at the end. But it was beautifully done.
Oh, my God. What an amazing story. Why did it take so long? Why did it take 5 years? Why couldn't she adopt him?
Just because the bitch nurse kept saying the dog was unadoptable. Now, there was some rationale in the sense that this dog was traumatized like she was in combat. And, you know, you imagine a little boy walking down the street with a toy gun, pulls the gun out, and the dog thinks that there's danger.
I see.
You know, so they were worried about that, but turned out to be the sweetest dog. And the dog hated her at the beginning.
Really?
She was terrified of the dog. It was just really, really,
oh my God,
beautifully done. So that was the highlight. Then I went and saw the Titanic exhibit at the Reagan Museum.
Oh.
Seriously disappointing.
Really?
Yes,
you do so many cultural things.
More about the movie, the Titanic.
Titanic. Stuff.
Of course, they don't have that much on the Titanic because it sunk. But anyway, we got in for free. We just sort of walked into the...
Oh, my God. Good for you.
It was like meandered in. It was like, oh, I think we're in it. Nobody stopped us. So I figured,
why not?
Saved $60.
Yes.
I got the wine afterwards on them.
I love it. Love it.
How about you, hon?
I was all American. I had
you
a barbecue.
Away.
I went to the Hollywood Roosevelt. I went to the beach. We had the best time. So, yeah, I had a night away with my husband for one night. Thank the Lord.
Was it heaven?
It was heaven. It was great. It was awesome. We really had a great time.
I'm so glad. What is the Hollywood Roosevelt?
It's a party hotel, and it's just sort of a crazy story. I don't even know if I should say it on
air.
Maybe
you shouldn't.
But we had an incident. We went there one day. We had an incident, which I'll tell you later. But basically, because of that incident, they let us have a free room at some other point. So we used it this weekend. Yeah. So it was really great. And so they made up.
Did someone raid your room with an orgy or something before?
That would have been nice. Yeah. I would have liked that. I wouldn't have asked for a refund for that. No, it was sort of an incident. But I'll keep their name good because it was a really good experience.
Oh, good.
For
well,
us.
So I always like it when businesses compensate when they know that something's happened. That's good customer service. That's so rare these days.
Yes. Yes, it was great. Yes. And then the beach was awesome, and it was not crowded yesterday at all, which I was surprised about.
Shocking.
Yeah, well, it was a little cloudy, so maybe that's why. But it was great. So yeah.
And then you got home to the Munchkins, and were they like?
No. The Munchkins we went to the beach with.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and the barbecue and like swimming. It was fun.
Fun.
I do like LA. There's so much to do. Like I know I always say that,
but I just want out.
I know. But I wonder if I was from here, I'd feel that way. Like
true.
You know,
true.
But
you
it's still vacation.
Whole life
right.
In 160-mile radius.
Exactly. So we're getting a call, and I'm wondering it's about our guest today. So let's see if we. Who it is. Hi, you're on live with Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly.
Hi, this is Sarah Harvey calling from the Chopra Center.
Hi.
Hi.
Do you have a question for today's guest?
No, I do not. Maybe I had the wrong number.
That's hilarious. I think you do. This is LA.
Are you teasing me?
What's that?
Are you teasing me?
No, this is
LA Talk Radio.
With Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly. We're on live right now, and we just got the call, so we're answering it.
Okay, my apologies.
No worries,
bye-bye.
Have a beautiful day.
It was so funny.
Okay, so let's just talk about last week's guest. Yes. By the way, I felt like such an alien that I couldn't come into studio. It was like the Good Girls Club was here and I wasn't here.
Oh,
I felt like
an
outcast,
so
like I was a teenager and I was shunned from my peer group. It was awful. Just kidding.
Okay, good. You were doing the right thing. You're a good mom to your cats.
I needed to be a good mom to cats. Now they're thinking abdominal lymphoma.
Are
not,
you
it's
serious?
Not thyroid, so I don't even want to talk about it.
We won't even go there.
But he looks as healthy as can be. You at night, he snuggles next to me. He comes and spoons with me. If I turn to the left, he comes on that side. If I turn to the right, he comes on that side. He eats like a horse. He's frisky. He plays mouse hunter still. I mean,
that's
looks
good.
Normal, except that he lost weight, so they're still concerned. So
sure.
He's got to get some big procedure. But anyway.
We'll say prayers.
Oh, yes. Prowler will be fine.
Yes.
So last week we had Samantha
Edis.
Edis. I want to say Etus, but
Edis.
It's Edis.
Yeah.
Yes. She was awesome. She wrote the book The Pie Life, A Guilt-Free Recipe for Success and Satisfaction. She had a lot of great energy.
It was fabulous.
And I loved your friend who
Oh my God, we had so much fun. We had the best time. And I thought my friend was perfect because my friend was, a full-time lawyer, so she can relate to what Samantha talked about with the work life balance and how to manage it, especially with kids. And so I thought that was she did great. A lot of great tips too, which I really liked.
Okay, well, drum roll.
We're so excited for today's guest. I'm so excited. So I want to give a little background before we introduce her. So I'm with the farmer's market with the two boys and my love. And if anybody knows me,
your real child, yes.
Yes, my only vaginal birth, as everybody knows. Moose. So David's like, this lovely woman came up and was talking to Moose. And so, of course, I'm like, anybody who's like, beelines to Moose is a friend of mine. So I was like, oh, that's cool. And then she comes over again. And so I meet with her. She's lovely. She tells me she had a whippet previously. So there's always like, it's almost like when I meet somebody Jewish, it's the Jewish bond. This is the whippet bond, which might even be bigger. And so I was like, oh, whippet person, they get it. And so we started talking, and then I find out she's a dog trainer on Animal Planet. So I was like, that's it. We're done here. You're coming on the show. So I'm so excited to have Laura London, and basically she is on the show Rescue Dog to the Super Dog. Rescue Dog to Super Dog on Animal Planet. So Laura London approaches each dog with customized training, giving her understanding that there is not one fix-it path to follow when training a dog. The one rule of thumb that remains a constant is that building a strong, loving relationship built on trust and respect between both dog and owner is pivotal in getting a well-mannered, balanced, happy dog. Laura serves as a guide to help her clients find the tools that they have inside of themselves to develop this important bond. She's an active horseback rider and regularly rides in Griffith Park and goes for walks with dogs Rufus, Chappie, and Texas. I love those names.
Welcome, Laura.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
I felt like it was like a dating profile.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I like horseback riding.
Long walks on the beach.
Sunset.
Yeah. Kind of funny. I am single. Sorry.
That's okay. Are you looking? Should we?
I'm always looking.
Must love dogs.
Must love dogs.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure.
Yeah.
Not like them a little bit, but like you really gotta
Eat them up,
like I've got three at home, and they're gonna insist on a little bit of petting, and they might just want to like lick your legs for a while. You just have to let that happen.
Yes. Well, like I'm starting to be a little bit snobbish, like if I meet somebody who's not really like a dog person, I'm sort of like, really?
Well, yes. I'm bumping into that. It's really funny because the more people I talk to, like I'm talking about the show and stuff, everyone's like, yeah, you just can't trust people who don't like dogs. I'm like, well, I think that's a little unfair. I don't know. I mean, I get it that we all have like the dog thing, but you just kind of like animals.
Yes.
I'm okay with animals.
Right.
Like,
sure.
Because I have found a fascination in like lizards, and I've never been a lizard person, but my friends' kids have lizards. And they're awesome.
That's cool.
Rosie and Arrow. I love those things. I fed them crickets. I'm like, can I teach them
God.
Tricks? What can I do?
That's so cool.
Yeah, they're kind of awesome.
We just got two hamsters. I told you that.
Yeah.
I've trained guinea pigs to like detect gunpowder. I'm not even kidding you. And to do agility, teeny little agility courses.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was amazing.
That's so
guinea
cool.
pigs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in defense of some people who aren't just outspokenly not like dogs, but those of us who love cats but also love dogs, it's because lifestyle doesn't necessarily permit the kind of care and mm-hmm. love that I would want to give a dog because of all right. the travel that we do. So it wouldn't be fair. I love dogs. Yes. And I hope to have one when my life settles down more, but it just... And we do. I do have like a sort of dog because Tiffany's dog yeah, I was comes say, to visit. Yeah. I'm grandma. I take care of the dog. It's great yes. that she gets to
the
go home.
The extended family of
yes.
dogs. Yeah. I love it.
Yes.
Perfect. No, but I respect that so much because I think it's worse if somebody loves dogs, but then they're leaving them in the apartment for 12 hours, you know? So it's like, yeah, I get that.
Right. So yeah. it's up so important. But oh, so, all right.
Okay.
What brought you into what we want to hear all about the show?
Okay.
I have tons of questions.
Great.
But the first thing I would say is, when did you know as a little girl that you wanted to do something with animals? Was it always your passion?
I think so. I was definitely like an intuitive child when it came to like being with dogs. You know, we had dogs growing up and the neighbors had dogs and, you know, I was always around them. Mm-hmm. And so, but I also came from a family that was very like, my dad's like first generation American, like my grandparents came over from Russia, and so it was like, and he was like the only one of 11 to graduate from college, and he was like making it, right? And he was doing everything. So I came from a family who was like, get a job, mm-hmm. stay in that job, die in that job, mm-hmm. you know, like no entrepreneurial spirit or like risk taking going right. on at all. Mm-hmm. So I just went to college, I got uh-huh. a job, I worked in that job, and I just was going to die in that job. It was fine.
Right.
And I was here in Los Angeles, I moved here in 99, and I was working in entertainment and hospitality and human resources, which was lovely,
mm-hmm.
but no one likes their HR department, right?
Right.
Can I say that?
Yes,
it's true.
You can.
So I was always, people were like, well, you're not like other HR people. So I always took that as a huge compliment.
Yes, exactly.
But it just didn't really feed my soul. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to start working with dogs, but I didn't know how. Because mm-hmm. like growing up, it was like you were a vet or...
Yeah.
What did you
a
do?
Mm-hmm.
They weren't like dog trainers. There wasn't doggy daycare. They're like, you just, how did you make it happen? So, or a groomer, maybe mm-hmm. you could do that. And so I didn't want to do that. But things were changing here in LA, and I was like, I got to figure this out, and I want to make dogs my mm-hmm. what I do for a living. And I remember even like asking permission from my father, who had been diagnosed with cancer in like February of the year that this was, 05, I think. And I was like, and I'd been working with dogs and training friends' dogs, but not like quitting my job or anything like that, not totally taking the leap. And I was like, I just want to do this. Mm-hmm. I just want to take the leap. And you know, just wanting not, you know, a little girl just wanting her dad's okay kind of thing.
Sure.
Right? And he was like, so go work dogs. Like, it was like such a non thing.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, all right, it feels stupid now. So so that's when I just did it full time. And it wasn't just like my friends and my friends and my friends and things mm-hmm. and my neighbors. It was like, we're doing this.
Where did so you get cool. your training to train dogs?
I was self-taught.
Wow.
And, you know, I did a lot of reading and I went to a lot of educational seminars all over the state
cool.
and just really got my brain involved in the science of dog training and the theory mm-hmm. of learning and things like that. And you know, then I went through an organization and took a test and got mm-hmm. certified. And, you know, so they test you on all your knowledge, and then you're like a knowledge assessed trainer, and then you can get a skills assessment.
That's cool.
So you have to like, they give you like four tasks and you have to perform them, and they mm-hmm. judge you on them. And then you're like, yes, your skills are there and your knowledge is there. So now you can be a dog trainer. The thing with dog training is like, there's not one path.
Right.
You know, so you yeah. can go to a dog training school. You can self-teach yourself and you can get certified. You cannot do anything but read books and not get certified and just do it. And if you're good at it, super.
Right.
Like, you don't need anything formal. But on the flip side of all of those, you can do all of that and still be a horrible dog trainer.
Right, sure. Exactly.
You could go to school and suck. You could mm-hmm. be self-taught and suck. You could have, you know. So
right.
when you're hiring a dog trainer, like, you know, mm-hmm. I'm always like, you know, interview them, see what you can talk, you know, talk to them first, mm-hmm. meet them, try to
sure.
pick their brain, make sure their philosophies are in line with your philosophies, mm-hmm. You know, in terms of how you see your dog
That's
fitting
cool.
into your family. Don't let them boss you into
right.
something else, you know, because
yeah.
they can be known to do that too.
So I have a question as far as, like, how would you describe your style? Like, when I'm thinking of, like, I'm thinking of, like, Jillian Michaels. Like, she's tough, you know, when you want to lose weight. Like, are you, like, right. the Jillian Michaels
she's
of the
scary.
Dogs? Yes.
I'm not that scary.
Okay.
I'm not so old, not that fit. I think you have to be that scary to be that fit. She's uh-huh. a machine.
Yeah. Yes.
I am, you know, I think dog training has to fit into your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are lots of different ways of teaching behaviors to your dog. And every dog is going to be different, you know, a lot mm-hmm. like, you know, much like people. Like, you know, you think of kids who, like, have a really hard time in a traditional school, but they can take a car apart.
Exactly.
And put it back together without yep. a book. And you're like, how
is that even possible?
Like, yeah. how do you, yeah.
What'd you say?
That's your children.
Yes. Exactly.
Like, how do you do yes. that? But yes. like sitting at a desk, you know, reciting the alphabet, it just kills them.
Yep.
Right. And so mm-hmm. dogs are the same way. Some dogs really need a challenge. Other dogs can't have too much. So some dogs respond to a cookie to do something. Yeah. Some dogs need a little bit more. So that's why there's, like, just a spectrum of yeah. training. And I would say, you know, I'm obviously heavily on the positive reinforcement mm-hmm. side of that spectrum. But I'm also not naive in thinking that's the, I have to stay on that end of the spectrum because, mm-hmm. you know, you can say no to your dog. Like mm-hmm. you can say no to your kids too.
Right.
Can't you? I don't know. You
I can't say no to my dog.
Yeah. Okay, good. Probably. Just making sure. I don't know. We all just met. But yeah, like you can say no to kids, right? You can say no to your dog. It's not going to ruin them,
yeah.
right? They need boundaries.
Uh-huh.
They need to know what's expected of them. They need to mm-hmm. know what they need to do to get that expectation yeah. or that reward.
Yeah.
So that all like stays pretty positive. Mm-hmm. And when they're doing things that totally don't fall in line, you know, you've got to correct mm-hmm. those things. And I'm, you know, I'm not into heavy correction and force and shock collars or anything
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
But my, you know, every training that I meet with, every time I meet a person who needs a dog trained, it's got to fit their family. It's got to mm-hmm. fit their lifestyle. And it's got to make sense for that dog.
Makes
so
sense.
It's all kind of customized.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
So we have a situation in my neighborhood. I don't know if you'll have any
clues.
Yeah, exactly.
It's actually,
we're putting you to work.
It's a frightening situation, actually.
Uh-huh.
So there's a couple that lives down the street, and it's a German Shepherd and a pit bull.
Okay.
And apparently it's the parents that own the house, and their adult children that live there that don't really care about
Got
these
it.
Dogs, and they sometimes get out. And when they get out, they bite people.
Okay.
Recently, one was bit and in the hospital and badly, and we all thought that the dog wasn't going to come back. They were going to retire the dog somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Now the dog is back
mm-hmm.
and reasonably unsupervised often, and now we're all in our neighborhood walking around in terror about. I was charged once, but fortunately I was with a gentleman who had a stick,
mm-hmm.
and he put it out
right.
front. He said, just scream. We just shouted, and we stayed focused in front of the dogs. But
yeah.
do you have any tips about dogs that are untrained and what?
Do you live in LA City? Do you know of LA City?
Ventura County.
Okay, so you have Ventura County Animal Control. Hey, word up. So if you mm-hmm. have any situation in your neighborhood where a dog is getting out and it's dangerous mm-hmm. or it's a nuisance,
mm-hmm.
by all means call animal control.
Okay.
And report that person's address to animal control.
Mm-hmm.
Animal control will then check and see if that dog in that house has a license.
Oh.
Because you have to have a license. You have to license your animal for this mm-hmm. reason. So if there's no license on record for that animal, then they would... this is bureaucracy. This
yeah.
is stuff that takes a while.
But I believe they've already been involved and they brought the dog back.
Okay, well, and then... But all these
Keep
things can
it.
Be checked on.
Yeah,
because
okay.
if it is a bureaucracy, mm-hmm. just like police reports, you can
exactly.
find stuff.
Yeah.
So they would send a letter and say, hey... we've had a complaint on this dog. Mm-hmm. It doesn't show you have a licensed dog in the house. Here's a ticket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Comply and get your dog ticketed.
Mm-hmm.
First step, right? And then if there's a bite, by all means, report that.
Right.
In LA City, they will... it's scary because sometimes it's too robust of a response, but they have the authority to take your dog
yeah.
from you and keep your dog at animal control until you see a judge.
Oh, wow. Oh,
so that God. Could be 6 months.
But
here in LA, because there's like one judge that
right.
hears
so
all
I have to
horses.
Interrupt right now. So
yeah.
I'm wondering, see, my heart like goes out to the dog. I know it's
right.
Hard, but
right.
Like, so my question is, can a dog who bites, like it can be trained to not do that, correct? Sometimes... No.
I just have to give you like a soft yes. I don't, you know, okay. I don't know the
it
dog.
It just depends.
I don't know the dog. There are aggressive dogs in this world.
Uh-huh.
And the only thing that's going to make them happy is to have something in their mouth, like your arm.
Wow.
You know, there are fearful dogs who also bite. And the dog, that dog wants as much space between you and them as possible. So they're not going to charge you and come and make contact with you. They're going to seem really big and just to get you the hell out of their space.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And if you keep pushing, they're going to bite you.
Yeah.
Okay. But like a dog that's going to get out, rush you, rush your dog, rush your baby carriage,
yeah.
and you're, you know, walking around the neighborhood in the stroller. That's dangerous. And so you have to report those things to animal control. You know, if you feel like getting snarky, call the police.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, clearly you know? I have compassion for the animals because it's not really their fault. They've
right.
been allowed to do this, et cetera.
Right.
But I think you might feel differently if you're walking, if you've got
of
your
course,
two boys in
of
front
course.
Of you and moose on a leash and this dog comes
oh, yeah.
up
yeah,
and
you.
It's going to,
yeah.
you know,
so,
it's just
yeah,
not.
You, yeah. you know, like, and I walk the line a lot with people because I, you know, I'm training people. I also offer like free classes for pit bulls in Griffith Park on Saturdays through a group I work with called Angel City Pit Bulls. And like I tell these people, like your number one job now that you have a dog is to keep your dog safe.
Mm.
Don't put them in situations that will make them have to make a decision. Mm-hmm. You need to make that decision because they're always going to make the wrong decision.
Right,
exactly. You know, they don't have words. They have teeth is what I always say.
Right,
so,
exactly.
So, you know, if your dog is maybe guarding you as a dog comes up and then your dog bites that dog, well, then your dog can be taken away and your dog wasn't doing anything wrong.
Right.
And so you just have to make sure you keep your dog safe.
Yeah.
And don't put it in situations like these. People are being totally negligent by not putting making their dog safe.
No, when I confronted them on the first time, they said, we don't have those dogs.
What? They denied
flat
it?
Flat out denied that they had the dogs.
No.
As you can see, the German Shepherd in the window.
Are you serious?
Simply just said, we don't own those dogs. I don't know what you're talking about.
That's weird.
Weird. These are not.
I don't want those people in my neighborhood.
Right, exactly.
Forget the dogs. Yes. I don't want those people in my neighborhood.
Of course, in this very isolated little hood.
Yeah.
There's one entrance in and one out. So it's not like there's a lot of places to go. Do you suggest, like in a situation like that, though, for the person jumping on a car? I mean, like what? How do
like if
one
it charges
keep
you?
Safe?
I would say, you know, there's a couple things. I like walking with a stick. That's always a good thing. But some dogs might get like
think it's
excited.
Fetch.
Excited,
yeah.
Them, right. So that's could be too arousing, and then they're like, "No, I'm really gonna kill you."
Yeah.
But a stick is nice. There is something called spray shield. It's like mace, but it's not.
Oh.
It won't burn their face off. It's citronella, so and you can get it at a real distance, and it you can put it in a little holster and you zip it out, and it's in a little can like space.
Good because I have mace, so what's it called?
It's called spray shield.
Spray shield. Perfect.
Okay.
There's also another one called Pet Corrector, which is just strictly air. It has no scent, and it's just really loud.
Uh-huh.
Also, you could do what we use in the shelter to break up scuffles at the shelter, like. Not like the big loud air horn, but it's like an I'll find it.
What about just like a whistle?
Yeah, that's kind of not loud enough though.
Really?
Like it kind of has to be enough that everyone would go, you know, hold theirs and go, holy shit, like duh.
Right.
So there's one, it's just like a screaming loud piercing sound. It's like,
wow.
And I'll find it and I don't remember the name of it, but it's like,
that's good. You should
kind of, and it's small, on. Little air horn.
Yeah.
And that should scare the bejesus out of the dog.
Okay.
Like you just want the dog to go away.
Yeah. I'm on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Shopping list. Yeah. Going to Amazon after this.
Do you have like an all-time... this is probably horrible. It's like somebody saying like, who's your favorite child? But like, do you have a favorite breed?
Oh, Whippet, of course.
No, it better be. I'm not kidding or else I'm kicking you out.
Well, like we were talking about before, like I like a lot of breeds and I want to have like a bunch of different, you know, dogs. And right now I have a Frenchie and two Boston Terriers.
Oh.
A lot of snoring and farting.
Yeah, exactly.
Going on in my house.
That's so funny.
You know, and a lot of dog trainers have like really serious dogs at home. Like they have like Belgian Malinois.
Or
they have serious like working dogs at home. And I'm like, I'm too old for that.
Right.
Like I love working with those dogs. I love getting paid to work with those dogs. Mm-hmm. But when I come home, I don't want those dogs to need me to, like, work them out.
Oh.
Right.
I want those dogs to be like, we love you so much.
Yes. You're welcome home.
Can we get Netflix? Like, they just don't, they don't even, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all seniors. They're like 12, 11, and 10.
Oh.
So
they're just chilling.
It's just chill. It's a chill fest at my house.
Oh.
But breeds that I like to train, I don't know. They're all really, really smart. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy a lot of them. And I mean, right now I do a lot of puppy raising. So,
oh, that's right.
You know, I've got a Berner Doodle at my house right now.
What's Berner that? Doodle?
Yeah, Bernese Mountain Dog and Poodle Mix.
Oh my God, I thought it was like a hippie dog, like a burner.
Like a burner?
Like, yeah, yeah,
that's like a stoner Berner Doodle. It's a Berner Doodle.
Yeah.
No. So he's like colored like a Bernese Mountain Dog, like black, white, and tan, beautiful, right? But curlier hair, like a poodle.
Big.
Well, this is all the weird stuff about breeding. So they bred Big Burner Dad with a smaller poodle.
Oh.
Or vice versa. However they did it. Poor poodle, I know. Poor poodle. They're all very small puppies. So they're trying to, like, with this whole, like, poodle rage, the doodling, the doodling of America. I'm going to write a book. The doodling of America. So they're mixing a lot of dogs with poodles. And the bummer is that they're mixing large breed dogs with toy poodles.
Oh my god. Do they actually do it?
No, artificially.
Oh, I was going to say.
Artificially.
Poor poodle.
So you're, you know, the idea is that you're breeding down smaller versions of these larger dogs. But these larger dogs are large for a reason. Yeah. And they've been that large for a long time. So then you kind of get health problems because now you're like shrinking everything and it's all kind of weird. But but anyways, he's a Berner Doodle and he's super cute and he's just floppy and muppety and
so cute.
He's delightful. And I've got, you know, a Doberman Pinscher puppy that I'm working with right now, another Labradoodle puppy. Yeah, so I do a lot of puppy stuff right now. And I love the puppies because they're just like...
Bring it on.
Bring it on.
Yeah, exactly.
And I can make them like so great in like 6 months and make them so socialized and so happy and so... aware of like where their place is in the family, that those people don't have to worry really about it again. Like, they don't have to go back to a different trainer every year and a half and go, he's still jumping.
Yeah.
He's jumping. He's always jumped. He always barks at people. And like, I just, you know, like, yeah, we don't jump and we don't bark at people because we learn really early in that super important developmental stage that that's like not what we do.
Right.
So, you know, like, cut her toenails. Like, my dog never lets me touch his feet. And I'm like, I'm chopping toenails and doing all sorts of stuff to these puppies. So, I enjoy that a lot. It's fun.
Is it true that you want to train a dog to never walk in the house first, that you're supposed to walk in the house first, or is that just a myth?
That's just personal preference.
Okay.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, people are very like, you should always cross a threshold first, you know, so your dog doesn't
think it's the alpha.
The thing is,
your dog is like running.
I could care less. My dog could be the prince. He's like, you know, anything goes with
that.
Do
no wrong.
But he wouldn't. That's what's so cool about him. But anyway, he's the best.
Moose. You just have to say his name.
But that's interesting. I love when people are like, I don't allow my dog on the furniture. Like, that kills me.
And again, personal preference.
I guess, but I'm like, what the hell?
And that's great. Grats, kudos to the boundaries. That's great because they're a dog and they can be on the ground and it's totally okay.
And
if they want to be on the couch, that's okay too.
Yeah.
But if you have a dog that doesn't listen to you, pees in the house and jumps on people, it should not be on the couch. It shouldn't be in your bed. They should have no bennies because they're acting like fools. So
you're
not a problem unless it's a problem. So people are like, but my dog sleep in bed with me. And I'm like, do you want to have sex ever? Because your dog can't be in bed with you if you're going to have sex. Like, so, and if your dog is in bed with you too much, then they're going to think it's their bed. And then whoever comes into your bed is going to have a problem.
That's interesting.
So you just have to like, just look ahead a little bit. It's not a problem unless it's a problem.
Got it.
So, you know, if you have a dog that has boundary issues and is like entitled in their behavior and really doesn't need you, because you have food out all day and they've got a dog door and they have toys at their disposal, really, what are you there for?
And I
speak to moms, and moms always get this. I'm like, you don't let your kids come home and raid the fridge and eat what they want and shoot whipped cream down their throat and drink booze. No.
You never talked to my mom then, did you?
No. Well, she was a bad dog owner.
We didn't have any boundaries, but
bad dog owner. Your mom should not own a dog. But so those are the things. Like, if you, it's more like parenting I'm not saying that dogs are kids. I'm not saying any of that. But I'm saying your relationship with them should be one of influence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not dominance.
I see. Good. That makes complete sense.
Yeah. So you should just have, like, I want dogs to stay in that permanent, like, kind of toddlery age before the kids go to school, like, and get a peer group that's more important than you.
Yeah.
Like, I want them to be like, Mom, I just love you so much. Aww. I just want to spend all day with you. I love you so much. Like, that's what I want my dog to say to me. Like, the world revolves around you. You control everything. You magically put food comes from you. Affection comes from you. Discipline, if it has to. Exercise, it all comes from you. And you're amazing.
Yeah. Right.
That's how I want my dog to look at me. I don't want my dog to be like, I'm kind of afraid of you.
Yeah.
Like, let me bow down to you. Or, I don't need you. I can do it myself. Look, I'm going to pee on your couch.
Yes.
So that's kind of how I look at that makes relationships.
Total sense. What about crate training? Are you a fan?
Pro. I love it. I think it's great because that's another boundary.
Yeah.
I always say to people, like, with kids, if your kid falls asleep on the couch, you put them in their room. You put them in their
bed. That's a really good way
to
look
at it. You don't go, okay, sleep on the couch. I would fake sleeping as a child.
Yeah.
So my dad would carry me to bed.
Yep.
I thought it was like the most fabulous thing ever. Ever.
This is a great way to look at it. Because you're 100% right.
Yeah. It's not like I'm putting you there for punishment.
Right.
And sometimes you need a timeout, for sure. The timeout's not going to be the same with a dog. Like, they're not going to think about what they did wrong.
Right, exactly.
But you're not going to kill them.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. So give a timeout. Everyone gets a deep breath. Mm-hmm. They can go to their space. Fine.
That's amazing. So we've been talking with Laura London. She is the host of Rescue Dog to Super Dog on Animal Planet.
If you have a question, please call in at 323-203-0815. While we could rack your brain personally,
yes,
so many questions, but we do want to promote the show too.
Sure,
so
let's talk about the show. The show is awesome. The show is so nice in this current culture climate. If I can say that.
Of doing something like
in a
really
vague way.
Yeah.
It's really heartwarming.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a win-win all over the place. Mm-hmm. So what we've done on the show, the idea of the show came from a show of the same name in the UK last year. So Animal Planet wanted to bring it to the States. So what we've done is we've taken 12 disabled people, varying from really severe PTSD and manic depression kind of stuff to amputees who have fallen, had like rock climbing, you know, accidents to late onset Tay-Sachs, all sorts of different, you know,
ailments.
So all of these people have been like, I think a dog could help me in my life. It could improve my life. And so we took these people and we found 12 dogs individually picked for these people and trained them to help them in their life.
Wow.
So we took these shelter dogs, trained them to be service dogs in training for these people who needed it. Mm-hmm. So, and the difference between regular service dog training is that we're not doing full on, we've bred this puppy and we're going to train it for 2 years and then we're going to give it to you and you're going to drive it like it's a fancy car and it's totally turnkey for you. We're taking dogs that are older, like over two years old.
Okay.
We're looking at dogs in shelters who are friendly, who are sociable, who like to hold a toy in their mouth and who are going to be like good in public and, you know, that sort of stuff. And we're looking at those dogs who already have a propensity to kind of be
nurturing.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to teach them some tricks, like pick up my phone when I drop it, answer the doorbell when it rings.
Oh my God.
And we're going to train them 2 or 3 tricks in conjunction with some obedience, and we're going to teach these people that we're giving the dog how to be a part of that training too. So we're empowering them to have some ownership in that training too. So it's really neat. Kind of gives them some power. And so we're saving dogs, we're saving these people. It's been amazing. We've got 2 more episodes.
Yes.
We've followed people, like the first episode, it's so amazing. My client's name is Kelly. She's 4'8". She has cerebral palsy. She was born premature. And like literally, I think she weighed under 2 pounds when she was born.
Gosh.
She was not even expected to live.
Wow.
And she's like thriving and living and lovely and super independent. But she still walks on quad canes. She still has problems. She's got arthritis and things like that. So she wanted a dog to help her with balance, help carry some bags for her, and help her feel more confident when she's out on the street. So we were able to find a beautiful dog named Nola, who's a Great Dane, and we found her.
I know. Don't you love Great Dane?
Stop. You've got to watch the episode because you're just going to be totally in love with her. You can follow her on Instagram. She's so cute. And she's just, like, they're the best of friends. And they go to Disneyland together all the time. They just go, they go all over the place, you know. And,
I
and,
love it.
And so, and she's just like, oh, my God. She was like, even just the companionship alone is so transformative to some of these people who feel so isolated. Because the service dog then kind of opens the door to have, like, relationships. People are like, oh, let me pet your dog. And you're like, that's somebody who would have not have noticed me before.
Right.
I was invisible because of my disability, and now people are talking to me.
Or visible in a negative
different way.
Exactly.
Right? Judging or being afraid. Or,
So, I mean, it's been really powerful.
That's
it's been great.
Amazing.
How many episodes?
Six episodes. There are two more left. Wow. You know, fingers crossed for a second season. We don't know.
How many trainers?
Two. Me and my partner in crime, the always hunky ex-Marine, Nate Schomer.
That's so
you have to seem to believe him, ladies. Yeah, he's like got the biggest arms of anyone I've ever met.
You sold me. I'm
take he's adorable. He's
Kelly, you're married. I need to remind you every show.
every show.
Well, and he's not even here.
The diet doesn't mean you can't look at the menu.
He's
come
not
on.
Not even here. I know.
Yeah.
So he's great. He's worked with a lot of former Marines and vets as well who are suffering from different injuries and PTSD and things like that. So it's been really neat to see him work with these people and build these bonds and, you know, kind of give back. It's been wonderful.
It's so encouraging when I hear stories about shows that are getting on air and successful that are kind.
Exactly.
That actually have positive outcomes that aren't about humiliating people or showing conflict at
Yeah,
they're like, oh, so do you, Nate, like, have fights on, you know, on the show for, drama? And I'm like,
no.
Like, we're too busy training dogs.
Exactly.
Like, what are you talking? Who'd watch that? It's not Bachelor, you know?
Exactly.
It's like,
but sadly, people would watch that. That's what they'd watch it for. But you're going to get an audience that's going to be about animal lovers who are really...
We've had a great response.
I love it.
You know, for the most part. I mean, they're strangely... And people warned me. They're like, they're going to be like...
Stalkers?
Trolls.
Wait, what, like, what is a troll? Like a, somebody who like... Yeah, like a stalker? Or
yeah,
what?
Well, no. That's not been that bad. I don't know. I can't speak for Nate.
Okay.
But
go
I'm
ahead,
sure,
say. What's
I'm sure the ladies are after
a troll
Nate.
Is like...
Who are just like... I don't think that person's disabled enough.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
are
that
you
kind of stuff.
I swear.
Really?
I kid you not.
I don't understand.
And you're like,
people.
I think you're kind of missing the... bigger message.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's a show. Like, we took a lot of... There's a lot of footage that you don't see.
Yeah.
We got to squeeze this in to X amount of minutes on a show and have it make sense to you.
Right.
It can't be, like... It can't be a miniseries. Like, it's just got to be this person's, you know, the show's an hour long. We have to tell two stories. So that's what, like 24 minutes each, maybe, that the people get?
Sure.
And we got to, like, really bring it down. So, you know, I'm always amazed, like, Sunday morning. You know, Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah, when you, after the show.
You know, after the show, have my coffee.
You're
like, go to church,
and
come back, and I'm like, nasty, nasty, nasty. And I'm like, really?
Oh, wow.
Do you know what? I just wrote to get a guest on about internet, like, shaming. And the book is called, like, So You've Been Publicly Shamed. And I just saw him on CBS Sunday Morning. And I just saw Christy Teigen talking about how she puts up her pictures of her baby, she's like, you know, I didn't realize, but people are like, oh, you're putting it in the car seat wrong. The belt's supposed to be 2 inches up. Or, you know, and it's like, it's so upsetting. It's like, you can't just do anything without, like, you know, it to be good and nice.
Envy. Mm-hmm. Envy.
Yeah.
I mean, human beast is plagued with envy. And there's positive envy and negative envy. And the positive one inspires you to want to do good things that you witness other people do, and the negative one is like, I don't get to be on that show, so fuck them.
Yeah,
you know, it's bad.
I mean, I would happily say that in terms of, like, how many people the show is reaching, the negative envy people are pretty.
Yeah.
They're definitely a small
That's
group.
Good.
That's
exactly.
That's awesome.
But sometimes they're finding the people on the show.
Mm.
You know, like Instagram or Facebook or whatever, and like talking to them.
Oh my God, like reaching out to them.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You know,
kinda
and it's
creepy.
Like, that's just, this world is weird.
Can you train them?
Yeah, exactly. The humans.
And we're just like, ignore it, delete it, ignore it, delete it, send it, send it here, and they'll deal with it. Like, don't respond to it. Don't feed the beast. Just like, yeah, so it's kind of crazy.
Absolutely. Okay, I have a burning, another personal question, which I think will help a lot of people, though, because I know that a lot of times people have cats like myself, and then they want to get a dog. How do you introduce a dog, and if there are a difference between a puppy and an older dog, to the cats?
Well, I think you got to know your cat well enough, you know. Like, and I don't train cats.
Possessive.
But I've known cats that I'm like, oh, that cat probably doesn't want a dog in the house. You know.
When the grandchild dog comes to visit and she has to stay outside because of them, but she's large.
Right.
One of the cats does a full Garfield up on the window.
Really? Like, don't come in.
Full.
Oh.
Could you take a picture?
I love it. Oh, my God.
That's really funny.
Yeah. A lot of the times, you know, it's got to be, you know, it's got to be a cat that wants a dog in the house. And it's certainly got to be a dog that's going to not overwhelm the cat.
Okay.
You know, so I'm a lot of times, you know, there's a certain level of like work it out, you know, hopefully your, you know, cat has its claws still so it can like give one good swipe on the nose and then lesson learned. Right, dog? The dog's like,
right.
There are so many great YouTube videos of like cats just ruling the house. And the dogs are like, yeah, you can have my bed. No, I'll go upstairs later. No, I don't need to go outside. It's eat my food. It's the best.
Oh my God. So funny.
I love it. So, you know, but that's where crate training comes in. Like, you know, if you're bringing a dog home or a puppy home, like keep it in the crate and let the cat have free time to walk around the crate, sniff the dog, what it needs to, and feel safe. And then when the dog comes out of the crate, give the cat somewhere safe to go so they don't have to always be running for the hills all the time, you know. And it can take time, and it's not, it doesn't happen overnight. I have a wonderful friend and client, and she's got the sweetest little chocolate peanut M&M of a dog named Bowen. He's a pit bull, and she's got this beautiful black kitty. And she's like, yeah, they don't get along. Oh. Her other dog and the cat have a great relationship, both kind of similar size, but just not happening. And so she's like, can you just come over? And I'm like, yeah. So we just kind of like sat with him on the leash and the kitty up high, and kitty could come down, and kitty, but dog was contained and kitty could do stuff. And so you just kind of practice that a little bit every day.
Smart.
And kind of let them, you know, where nothing happens overnight though. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good to know.
Well, I'm thinking little Pomeranian.
Really? So you're really thinking about this?
Yeah. It's just not working out with my travel plans. Maybe when I move to Santa Fe.
Oh, it'll be so nice. Oh, that'd be awesome.
Cute.
Well, and it depends on the breed, too, because Whippets, they think cats are like rabbits.
Rabbits.
So they're exactly. They're on it. I remember the first
time. Sighthounds, they're not so good with small, fuzzy animals that move fast.
I remember when Moose first saw a cat, he was like, I don't even know what to do with this thing. Like, it was so funny.
But my Whippet, Diva, she lived with a cat.
Oh, she like, did. She did
that
okay.
Cat's whole life. Yeah.
I think if you get you, if you start them young,
together, I think
and they were fine. And they'd play chase games.
That's so cute.
Like, he would run. I named him Scrappy because I had him like since I watched Scooby Doo and his little cousin Scrappy Doo. Anyways, so Scrappy would like run in the backyard, and Diva would chase him, and they'd run and they'd like dodge, and then he'd run up, try to like jump the fence, like he'd scurry up the fence, and Diva would grab him by the tail and pull him down.
Oh, my God.
But, like, you know, so that he'd, like, laugh it off. And then they'd run more. Like, it was a game they played.
That's so cute.
And they feel confident that it was a game, so callers don't call in and say that it's, like, animal cruelty because they were both willing participants.
Yes.
He could leave anytime he wanted to.
Of course. He had the claws and the ability to jump that fence anytime he wanted to. So now here's a good question. So you're walking a dog, and there's another dog off-leash across the way, and you have your dog on leash. Do you unleash your dog? Do you keep your leash on? What do you do with the other dog? I love the facial expressions I'm getting here.
So
this is a common experience.
Oh, yeah.
Very common for people.
Too.
All right.
Okay.
If I am in an off-leash dog area, like Runyon or something, I'm going in there with the assumption that there are going to be dogs off-leash approaching my dog.
Mm-hmm.
If my dog cannot handle off-leash, I should probably not take my dog to an off-leash area.
Got it.
Number one, keeping your dog safe, right? Mm-hmm. Not putting them in weird positions. Mm-hmm. Because when you have an off-leash dog approach your dog on leash, you've taken away your fight or flight from your dog.
Mm.
So they can't make the decision. They might make a decision that they wouldn't normally make.
I see.
And same with the other dog off leash. You might just come like charging your dog, but might be like super friendly, but mm-hmm. like it's scary because your dog can't go anywhere and there's mm-hmm. a dog running at them.
Yeah.
So if I'm on the street, like in my neighborhood, oh, I'm angry if your dog is off leash. Mm-hmm. You are arrogant mm-hmm. and you think that you are above the law mm-hmm. and you think that you're better than everybody else because your dog is so great that he totally listens. Mm-hmm. unless your dog is glued to your side, they're not listening to you. Mm-hmm. If your dog is 20 feet ahead of you and running towards me, you don't right. have control right, of right. your dog. And mm-hmm. the law states you must have control of your dog mm-hmm. at all times. Mm-hmm. So if my dog's on leash and your dog's running to my dog and my dog bites you, strangely.
Yeah.
My dog's going to get in trouble. Even you were the one who wasn't wow. following the law.
Yeah.
So I generally yell really loud in my angriest voice, get control.
Get your fucking dog under control.
You know, yeah. in case there are my kids around or something, I just like get control uh-huh. of your dog.
Uh-huh. That's interesting.
I just yeah. yell it like as loud as I can. Mm-hmm. And if they can, then they'll whistle and their dog turns around on a dime and comes back to them. And I'm like, that's a great dog. But understand, like, my dog's really reactive,
yeah.
which he is. My dog, mm-hmm. Texas, would not be down with that at all. It would be a problem.
I see.
And I would probably have to let Texas go to fight. Mm-hmm. Or I would be myself getting bit. Mm-hmm. Like, and I've had to come to that before. Like, I've had to pick Texas up as a boxer was running down the street full mm-hmm. throttle at us. And I just held him, and he was trying to get away from me. Uh-huh. I have scars on my side from him wow. scratching me because he was so freaked out.
Yeah.
And that dog came up to me, and I just brought my leg out and just kicked him in the ribs.
Oh my God.
And then he's like, don't kick my dog. And I'm like, I don't even know how to have this conversation. Like,
wow. Don't kick my dog.
Put your dog on a leash.
Yeah.
So the rule is that your dog should be on a leash.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I know that's great that your dog is really trained. That's mm-hmm. super awesome, and that's so responsible of you. But continue to be responsible mm-hmm. and put your dog on the leash because mm-hmm. the law states your dog has to be on the leash. For
or
me,
go to the dog park.
Right.
Yeah.
And I say it's like a seatbelt. I don't wear a seatbelt because I'm a bad driver.
Exactly. It's the other I
wear a seatbelt because everyone else is a bad driver, yeah. and it's the law.
Yeah.
So that's what the like leash uh-huh. is to me. It's a seatbelt. It keeps my dog safe. It keeps everybody yeah, on the same playing true. Field. Yeah, and if you're at a dog park, same thing. If your dog can't handle mm-hmm. being bum rushed by other dogs,
yeah,
then okay, don't go
exactly.
there.
Yeah.
You know, or know what part of the day nobody's there so you can go there.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you want them to get some exercise, go to a non-dog park and buy right. a 30-foot leash and yeah. throw the ball for them uh-huh. and get them to stretch their legs a little bit.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Good advice.
Fantastic advice.
Do you take Moose to dog parks?
I used to, but he's gotten bit 3 times at dog parks because
oh, no.
he's so fast.
Yeah, that happened to Diva, too.
It did, and their skin is very thin. So, you know, now I took him about a year ago, and he just kind of, like, ran and then plopped. So I'm like, you know, he was, like, looking around. But
he's
yeah.
12 now.
He's 12.
Yeah, yeah I do love seeing, like, the whippets at the dog park
yes,
because,
like so
they're getting chased, and they're just like, chase me. Come on,
well,
I dare you.
It reminds
dare
me
you.
Of, like, an aerobics instructor. Like, I joked Moose was the aerobics instructor. Like, everybody was, like, following. He was Jane Fonda running around,
yeah.
you know?
It's and really then they funny. Got this little, does Moose have like the turbo boost? Like,
oh, totally.
Did. Like yeah. she's like, everybody's really close to her. And then she just flips the switch and she goes, and she's
yeah.
gone. And they're like, whoa.
it's really
the best.
Funny.
Shockingly, we are getting close to out of town. Out of town?
Out of town.
Yeah, we're going out of town. We're all going to Vegas. So see you later, people.
Close to out of time. So tell us again the name of the show, Rescue Dog
Rescue
to
Dog.
Super Dog.
Yeah, Rescue Dog to Super Dog, Animal Planet, Saturday nights, 10, 9 Central. If you have an East Coast feed, it's 7. I don't know. Everybody's got different cable these days. You can see full episodes on Animal Planet Go and animalplanet.com.
Totally checking
and you
out.
Don't need to have like a cable provider. You can just go to animalplanet.com.
We have a very intelligent audience, so they'll be able to
figure that out. Sometimes, I don't know.
Right.
But yeah, watch it. Keep watching it.
Okay, cool.
Watch old episodes so we get like a second season because that'd be fun.
Yes. And then yeah. do you train just like normal people's dogs?
Yes, I train normal people's dogs.
And abnormal people's dogs.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes,
okay.
And abnormals all over LA
okay.
area.
Do you have a website you want to promote also?
Yeah, LauraLLondon.com. You can find me on Facebook also, Laura London. Instagram, Laura L. London.
Okay.
I'm out there. You can find me. If you want cute, like, PG Instagram. It's pretty.
Yes.
You don't even need a PG. It's pretty G. It's okay. just puppies. Aww. And occasionally me without a puppy, and nobody ever likes those photos.
I will. I'll
so
like
all my friends' one. Kids follow me because they like to see pictures of puppies. So exactly. Laura L. London, you can see all the cute puppies that I'm training currently. And sometimes we'll put like behind the scenes stuff from the show up there too when we're training the dogs.
And if you want to so date much. Laura, you need to consult with me and Kelly first.
Yes, exactly. We got to approve
since we are relationship experts. So this is how that will occur.
Sounds good. I'm totally down with that.
I will screen you like she screens dogs. For
That's right.
Exactly.
Can you carry a ball in your mouth? Right. I don't know. Are you friendly?
So thank you so much for being on
thank
our show.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been fun.
Wonderful.
Next week we have Renee England, who wrote a book called Beauty Sick.
I've been reading it. It's
really
phenomenal. It's
about
phenomenal.
Young girls and the whole beauty
industry and all that.
Can I come back?
Yes.
Destroying us. Yes.
Seriously.
No,
come
seriously.
Back.
You are welcome. Back. I'll come back every week. I'm just going to sit in the corner. It's so much fun.
And bring a dog each week.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Follow us on Instagram at Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly and Twitter at DocTherapist1. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.